hear the word of God, as it is written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to know to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions in the praise of his glory. This is the word of God.
I'm going to ask you again to open your Bibles, if you will. We're busy on Sunday mornings going through Ephesians. We're in chapter 1, and we're going to conclude this marvelous passage which we've been having a look at. And in chapter 1, and we'll cover from verse 11 through to verse 14 this morning. Ephesians 1, verse 11 through to verse 14. But I want to speak to you today particularly about how your divine inheritance is guaranteed. So let's pray. Those were such beautiful words, Lord, that we've been able to sing together. Oh, the mercy of God. Each one of us here this morning are conscious that were it not for that mercy, we wouldn't be here. We'd be lost and without God. We'd be back there in the world, living for today, chasing the gods that everybody else is chasing. But oh, the mercy of God. You've had mercy on us, gracious Father. And as we again learn of this deep mercy, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today, draw us again onto our knees in wonder, love and praise. And again we pray, perhaps someone even here today has not yet come into this marvelous relationship with Christ. As we go through these truths, may your Spirit draw them to Jesus. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, dear friends, just for a moment, if you'd permit me one more time to recap for you, because we have been busy with the longest sentence in the New Testament, from verse 3 right through to verse 14. And why I want to recap is because today it's going to wrap up this marvelous section. Remember I told you that in these verses, you and I, so to speak, have been ushered into the very throne room of the Godhead. And what the apostle is doing for us is to show us the greatness and the vastness of the blessings and of the treasures that belong to anybody who is in Christ. It's a deeply humbling passage and a very moving one indeed. Now what we have seen is this. From verse 3 to verse 6, we looked into the past. From verse 6b to verse 11, last Sunday, we focused on the present. Today, from verse 12 to verse 14, we're going to look to the future. From verse 3 to verse 6 in the past, the emphasis was on your election. that you have been elected before the very creation of the world. From verse 6b to 11, the emphasis there was on your redemption. That you have been redeemed and set free from your sin. And today we're going to focus on your inheritance. From verse 3 to verse 6, the emphasis was on God the Father, who in the past elected you to be saved. Last Sunday, it was on Jesus who shed his blood on the cross to redeem you from your sin so that you can enjoy part of that in the present. This morning, we now move to the Holy Spirit and we look to the future. So from verse 3 to verse 14, it's an incredible passage reminding us of the work of our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The past, the present, the future. Your election, your redemption. And this morning, we are going to focus on your wonderful inheritance that is still to be realized in your life. So put another way, you could say this. We were elected before the world existed. We have been redeemed in this present age through Jesus, but by God's grace, we will receive our completed inheritance on the day when Jesus is going to come back to our world. So that's what I want to focus on here this morning. Our divine inheritance is guaranteed. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, this is very important. If you have been converted, God wants you to have assurance. If people come up to you and say, do you know you're going to get into heaven? Do you know you're going to one day be with Jesus? Sadly, some people say, well, I hope so. Have you heard them say that? Or I'm trying hard. Or I really want to be. Now, we understand their hearts. But I want you to see this morning how we are able to say humbly, by the grace of God, yes, I am going to heaven, and by God's grace, yes, we will receive our inheritance. All right? That's the thrust of what we're going to have a look at this morning. Our divine inheritance is guaranteed. All right, so let's keep our eyes glued to the Bible, and I hope you find it very, very encouraging this morning. Now, on the outline that I want to go through today, you were given a sheet when you came into church, and our friends very kindly put it up on the overhead. You will notice there are three things today. We're going to show you, first of all, the ground of your inheritance in verse 11. Then I'm going to show you the guarantee of your inheritance in verse 12. And then just thirdly, I'd like to show you the goal of our inheritance in verse 14. So the three G's. That's easy to remember. Right? The grounds, the guarantee, and the goal of your inheritance. So that after in lunch today you can go through it. All right. Let's come then. We're having a great, great passage before us. So come with me then, first of all, to the grounds of our inheritance. Okay? Verse 11. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Now, you and I need to remember that our every conceivable need is met by God's gracious provision in accordance with His divine promises. So when you and I come to Christ, we are promised peace, love, grace, wisdom, eternal life, joy, victory, strength, guidance, power, mercy, forgiveness, righteousness, truth, fellowship with God, spiritual discernment, heaven, eternal riches, and glory. Couldn't say that in one breath. But that's all that you and I have been promised in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what we read here is that the ground, the very root from which all these great blessings become ours, is based on two things. Two things form the grounds of this assurance. Number one, there is the divine perspective. God has done something for us. Okay, I'm going to show you that now. And then secondly, I'm going to show you in just a minute, we do something. God does something, we do something. So what is the divine perspective? And there are three you notice there in verse 11. The first thing from the divine perspective is God's predestination. See verse 11, in him we were also chosen. Now that is a wonderful passage. That is the most secure thing that you and I could ever understand. Just for a minute, listen to a man by the name of William Hendrickson. He said it's neither fate nor human merit which determines our destiny. The benevolent purpose that we should be holy and faultless and the sons of God, destined to glorify Him forever, is fixed. It's part of a larger universe embracing plan. Not only did God make this plan, which includes absolutely everything that takes place in heaven and on earth, even in hell, the past, the present, even the future, pertaining to both believers and unbelievers, to angels and to devils, to the physical as well as to the spiritual, He also carries it out. Friends, that's phenomenal. You see, your assurance is based on the ground that there is a merciful, sovereign God, a God who in sheer grace has called you and called me to Himself. That it wasn't my wish or my desire or my good works or my prayers or my sincerity. No. We are here today. We are in Christ because of the mercy of God's predestination. Secondly, because of God's power. See verse 11? According to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. That's a terrific thought, that. God works out what He plans. He energizes every believer with all power that is necessary for our spiritual completion. So the power of God is at work in your life. He's drawn you to Christ. He's working out all things in your life. He gives you the power. He gives you the grace. He grants you what you need to be able to grow. And thirdly, there is God's preeminence. In order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. That's what God has done, friend. God desires that we give Him glory.
by proclaiming and displaying His glory. But another way we could say this, when people see your life, and they remember what you were, and they see what you are today, and they see the change, and they see your priorities and your standards and the way you love your wife and the way you bring up your children and the way you spend your money and the way you talk about Christ and the way you look forward to heaven. When the world sees this, it's to the praise and the honor of God. God has done such a work for you. God is a great God. So, friend, our inheritance that one day we're going to be with Jesus, one day we're going to go home to Him, one day is based on God, not on me. That's the divine perspective. Is that all right? You're clear about that. Divine perspective. Now let's have a look secondly at the human perspective. Look at verse 13 now. So what is our side of these things? Do we just sit back and enjoy it all? Not really. Look at verse 13 there. You also were included in Christ when you heard. So there's the first thing, that here you and I need to hear. Now have a look at verse 13. It's amazing how deep these verses are. What did you hear? Verse 13, you heard the word of truth, that's the objective, and then you heard the gospel of your salvation, which is the subjective. Let me just try and clarify that for you. So here you and I, perhaps you came to Christ Church Pine Town. Let's say Bishop Bell or Bishop Retief was preaching here. And there you were not a real Christian, but you felt drawn here, or a friend invited you to come. Or maybe like Peter Pollock told us the other Sunday night, he tuned into the TV and watching that particular program brought him to Christ. You see, how it happened is doesn't really matter. But what does matter is we heard. We heard the truth. That's what you heard. And the truth reminded you and me of our real condition. That we may have lovely homes and good jobs and great kids. But the real condition is that without Jesus Christ, I'm lost. The truth was that Jesus is the only way that we can come back to God. The truth is that if we don't come to Christ, we are lost. So, my friends, you heard the gospel. And there the word of truth was taught to you and to me. We heard it. But that's not enough. It's not enough just to hear it. So the second thing that we then did, if you can flash it up there, is we then believed. So we heard the truth. We heard that Jesus died on the cross for my redemption. We heard of His election before the world began. We heard of His love. We heard these things. And then we went the next step and we believed it. We put our faith and our trust and our life into the hand of God. And we asked God to have mercy on us and to save us and to redeem us. We heard and we believed. But you see, the key is that you can hear and believe because God has already done a previous work in your life. So faith is now the response to God's mercy and grace and election. I respond because of God's grace that has already gone before me. Oh, isn't that wonderful? It's incredible. The grounds of our inheritance then are two. God's side and my side. I respond and I believe. Last thing on that point and then we'll move on. This is when you hold to these teachings, it brings us into a violent collision course with our man-centered and our self-centered world. Fallen man, imprisoned in his little ego, has an almost boundless confidence in the power of his own will and an almost unquenchable thirst for the praise of his own glory. When it comes to the things of God, we are totally, utterly, completely dependent on God. And so we have become God's people. We are God's possession by His grace. We live by His will, and our purpose is His glory. Those are the grounds of our inheritance. Is that right? Can I move on? You'll pass the test. Okay, let's have the second point then, the guarantee. So we move from the grounds now to the guarantee of our inheritance, and look at the second half of verse 13. Listen. Having believed. So we heard and we responded. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. So, the guarantee of our inheritance is two things. Number one, God's seal. Now, friends, will you allow me just a few moments? Let me give you a breather to tell you a funny story. Is that alright? Just to have a rest, otherwise you all doze off here. I did my military training in Grahamstown at the 6th South African Infantry. And I had the privilege of having the most wonderful rank in the army. My rank was that of a skitter. For ladies, that means a rifleman. That means you nothing. Zero. I wasn't even a lance corporal. Nothing. I didn't have any rank. All I did was enjoy 9 months of ducking and diving guard duty. But I walked out there with no rank whatsoever. And I came up, as some of you know, here to Natal after my studies. And I toddled up there to Pietermaritzburg in 1977 to work in the church. And I'd been there literally for, I think, 3 months when I got a letter. And the letter was from the head of the South African Defence Force. This is true, eh? I promise, this is no lies. I can show you everything is fact. And what this gentleman said to me was, congratulations, Reverend Cole Edwards. You have been made an officer in the South African Defence Force. I want you to report to Pretoria in a month's time at the South African Army College. I was quite proud of myself. Suddenly from a skitter to an officer was quite a big jump. I get to the Army College. This is true, eh? You're not going to believe this. When I get there, I find I've been given the rank that is equivalent to a colonel. You know, a colonel is very, very high. So now walking down the main road of the college, and commandants, brigadiers, all saluting me. So I'm walking down the road, and I'm saluting them, and they say, hey, you don't salute us, we salute you. Sorry, sir. I mean, sorry. I don't know what I was doing. I was embarrassed. I said, I don't want anybody to salute me. I'm nothing. No, no, you are something. You're a colonel. So then I thought to myself, is this all real? Am I a real colonel? This is, you say, what am I talking about? Let me, this is the purpose of the illustration. You go down to my little office in the office block. I've got it on the wall. An officer in the Defense Force. And you know what it's got there on the piece of paper? A red, fancy seal from the state president. Sealed, and he signed this thing. So people may say, you're a useless colonel. I say, no, I agree with you. But you can't take away the fact I'm a colonel. When you want a colonel, call me, I'll do my job. You see why? I've got the seal. How do I know? I've got the seal. They may want to take away the rank, they've got to go to Mr. Mbeki. I've got the seal. The seal seals the deal. I'm a big shot. Because I've got the seal. Now anyway, forget about that story. You see, my brothers and sisters, this is what's happened to us, if I may say that spiritually, to me. God. See? God takes the initiative. In sheer grace and mercy and reaches into your life and my life. He opens our eyes to understand spiritual things. We hear the truth and then we believe. We put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, and by the grace of God we are born again. Now here's the crunch. The moment, the second you and I believe in Christ, the very second we are born again, what happens? God seals us. And the seal is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit now comes to live in your life. He takes up residence in your life. He comes now to empower you, to equip you for ministry, and to enable you to function through His gifts in the body. He has given you the Holy Spirit as your helper, as your advocate. He is there to protect you, to encourage you, and as the seal of God, He will guarantee your inheritance in Jesus Christ. Romans 8 says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, we are heirs also of God and fellow heirs with Christ. So the Holy Spirit is our securing force. He is our guarantee. So for you and I to chat to one another afterwards over a cup of tea. How do you know you're saved? How do I know I'm a Christian? By the grace of God, I heard, I believed, and I know the Holy Spirit is living in my life. Now let's break that down. What does that mean? It brings me security. This brings fantastic security into our lives. The Holy Spirit is there as a seal. It's the seal of a king. It's the seal of God. It brings, secondly, authenticity. It's a seal that is real. It's a seal from God. We are authentic Christians. We are secure Christians. And thirdly, it indicates ownership. We are owned by Jesus. We are owned by God. How do you know? Sealed. Sealed. Marked. Stamped with the Holy Spirit. And fourthly, it means that there is now authority in your life. Isn't that tremendous? That was worthwhile coming to church this morning. Wasn't it? You see, this is what God has done for us. So the guarantee is that we have God's seal. Secondly, not only God's seal, but there is God's pledge. God's pledge. Look at verse 14. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance? Oh, those lovely words. The Holy Spirit is a deposit, verse 14, guaranteeing our inheritance. In other words, my friends, God's first installment of His guarantee that the fullness of the promised spiritual blessings which are in the heavenly places in Christ are going to be fulfilled in your life. The Holy Spirit is our irrevocable pledge, our divine engagement ring. If I could use that little illustration. Until Jesus comes again for the wedding. So if you want to put it another way, then we'll move on. Mary and I, as you know, we've been still got a long way to go compared to some of you, but this year we've been married 32 years. And I remember when I was at Bible College, I lived on faith and fresh air, really. And so we got to get engaged. So we just went to a little shop there and got a little ring, not very expensive. But I put it on her finger and said, I want to promise you, I'm going to marry you. And I don't know why, but she said, I promise you, I'll go there with you. You see, it was the engagement ring. We were engaged for just a few months and then got married. You see, that engagement ring was the guarantee for us. The wedding's going to happen. My Father in heaven says, the engagement ring I'm giving you is the Holy Spirit. He's the deposit. But the wedding is only going to happen when Jesus comes. So folks, you're engaged to be married. And oh, we look forward to the wedding. Hey, you remember how we looked forward to the wedding? Our weddings? Of course we did. Couldn't wait for the day. But oh, we waited for the wedding of the Lamb. When Jesus is going to come back for His people. But the pledge, the seal, is God's Holy Spirit. So we've seen the grounds, we've seen the guarantee. Just lastly, number three, and then we're over, the goal. What's the goal? End of verse 14. Until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. We were reminded of that flying in the plane yesterday back home. There was a lovely little girl in the front. And she kept on standing on the seat and looking at Mike because she had never seen such a funny looking guy before. Couldn't take her eyes off Mike. So anyway, there she was. But you know, she had two hearing aids. Obviously, something's not quite right with that little girl. Can't hear properly. And I thought to myself, you know, that's it. This is not our home. There's sickness, there's death, there's war, there are hijackings, there's unemployment, there's retrenchment, there's rape, there are burglaries, there's cancer, because this isn't our home. One day, we are going home. And when we come home to Jesus, we will experience our full redemption. Redemption of our bodies and the redemption of our soul. Because you haven't got that yet. This is a true story, eh? I was at Bible college, and we used to play table tennis in the middle of our lectures. So when in the middle, when one finished, let me explain that. Oh, gee, I mixed that up. Now, what happened is we would finish a lecture, have a 10-minute break, and then another one. In that break, we would play table tennis. And I used to play with one of my fellow students there, who very sadly had only one eye. He lost his eye when he was born, and the nurse accidentally dropped a needle into his eye. And he lost sight of that eye. So there he was playing table tennis, and when he was losing, you know what he would do? Take the eye out. He had a plastic eye. Take the eye out and put it on the table tennis ball. I was petrified to hit the ball there. So I hit it on his forehand, and he clobbered me every time. But he always used to say to us, do you know what? One day, I'm going to have two eyes. And that's what this letter is all about. It's saying to us, we are going home. And we're going to get brand new bodies. And we'll be brand new people into a brand new home called heaven forever and ever. And there will be no more deaths and no more tears and no more crying. And we will be together with all our brothers and sisters in Christ from all the years. And we'll be with Jesus forever. Isn't that wonderful? Friends, isn't that wonderful? That's what we live for. We are a day closer to that moment than we were yesterday. The pilot said to us yesterday when we were flying back, if you don't switch your cell phones off, we're going to ask you to leave the plane. If you hit the water, there's a life jacket. But you see, what we say is, we are flying, and if something happens to us, it's not home. We are going home. And we just need to recapture that again. That our home is with Jesus in heaven. And when that moment comes again, we will receive our brand new bodies. And the last phrase in verse 14 is that all of this is to the praise of His glory. Now let me pull it all in together and we'll have some tea. Let's just really let it sink in. What have we seen now over these last three Sunday mornings? We've seen that you and I by nature are lost. By nature we are spiritually dead. By nature we are without God and without Christ, unable to turn and to save ourselves. That's what we are by nature. And verse 3 to verse 14 has told me what God has done. That in the past, God chose us for salvation. That Jesus came and died on the cross and shed His blood, that we might be forgiven and redeemed. And the Holy Spirit, which we've seen today, becomes the seal, the stamp, the pledge from a gracious God that He'll never let us go. He will take us home to glory. I want to say to you, my dear friends, if you're a saved person in this congregation this morning, you are a very, very blessed person. You have been chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Spirit. You've become a brand new person. You belong to a new society. You've got new values and new ideals. You are now part of God's people, God's own possession. You live by the will of God. And your purpose is for the glory of God. But oh friend, some of you may never ever have come to know this Jesus like we've gone through over these three Sundays. And I want to say to you as a friend and as a brother, I want to invite you today to come. I want to ask you to cross the line and to invite Christ into your life and to obtain the seal of the Holy Spirit in your life, so that you also may know that when the trumpet call sounds one day, you are going to go home. I brought back some books. It's simply called Crossing the Line. That's what it looks like. Crossing the Line is written by Frank Retief. Very simple, very basic, but tremendously helpful. That will show you how to cross the line if it's never happened to you already. And as we close now, if you come into our little mom's room here, Mike will be there with one or two others, and they'll give you one of these, and they'll pray with you if you are not sure that you have crossed the line. If you have, may God help you and me to live the rest of our lives in gratitude for all He's done for us and live for His glory. Amen.